everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comics number 144, and hopefully I'll put the right number on the podcast when I upload it.
It was 142, the sequel.
Yeah, it was. I did two 142s, which I'm...
Two-parter podcast.
Yeah. Oh, that could be. Yeah. No, we won't go too long. It's already after 8. I'm tired already. I'm going to let Pat do all the talking. Although, and Josh is running the organization of the show, right?
This should go well.
Yeah, what could go wrong? Well, if we let Adam run it, then it would be just chaos. Pat.
Yeah. Start. Well, I'm Pat, and with me tonight are...
like that. You just straight introduce yourself. What, you really want me to go? You're really keeping that going? Right. This is Adam.
This is Colin.
This is Josh.
This is Dave.
You've never got to do that before.
No, I haven't. Yeah. It's so
That's
cool.
Why you want
That's
to
so
do
cool.
That. That's why you
wow,
want to
it's
do
like
that.
A,
was,
it's you, like a guest spot,
yeah,
man. That's
like,
awesome.
Do you like the power?
I do.
Like podcast improv.
I know.
Okay. Well, two big things came out news-wise this week. Marvel posted one, I think, was it yesterday or 2 days ago?
I think it was yesterday.
Yesterday it was Everything Ends, Spring 2015.
I now, call that big.
Well, it's a change of pace only because everything else was summer.
Yeah.
We'd been getting all those other previews that were summer 2015 with the various redoing of, or...
Retelling of old...
Yeah, other
tales.
Stories. I think the last one was the 92 X-Men cartoon.
Yeah.
So this was different in just in the fact that it said spring. So then, of course, you know, that leads to the what ends. My guess is probably something, you know, really simple like the Ultimate Universe.
No, everything. Every single
everything
book in their
right.
line ends.
Well, every Ultimate book ends.
Didn't say Ultimate's end, Colin. It said everything.
Right, right. Oh, and then they're just going to do events. But they're just going to read... That's... Okay, I see where it's going here.
Doesn't it just sound like a reboot, though? Because if you say Spring 2000... You say, what is it, Spring 2015?
And then all these other things
And
are...
then everything ends, and then it's all their old events start after that?
So you like can rebuy everything you bought before?
Yeah, just so you can catch up, and then it'll be all...
I think part of the problem is they can't because they so... Sorry. Last batch of Halloween candy. They so mocked DC for when they did their reboot. I don't think they could reboot and not come off looking... rather hypocritical.
I don't think they care about that, though.
But they're also...
Yeah.
Well, but they didn't, because they weren't owned by Disney at the time.
Well, and they have rebooted twice now,
yeah,
since
were.
Then.
They were soft reboot. That's right, yeah,
well,
Disney
well,
bought them in 2009.
Well, you're right, they were soft reboots, but it was Marvel Now, and then All New
All
Now.
New Marvel Now.
This would be Marvel Ends, number one.
Could
Marvel
be.
All New Beginning.
New All New one. Marvel Now, number one.
Yeah.
I am Monkey interested Tricycle. In what the next one's going to be called, since it's, we're in All New Marvel Now. Marvel Next.
Disney's Marvel All
Marvel
New Marvel
Yet
Now.
Disney Comic. They're just going to rename it. It's not Marvel Comics anymore.
So what are they going to do with the Star Wars comics that are just starting around that time?
Well, Fair since that's not in that. Continuity, that doesn't
Is
really
it?
Matter.
Or isn't it?
Well, I don't think it, because
if they made Star Wars in continuity...
They can't, because what were the first nine words to Star Wars?
A long time ago.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Be,
yeah.
Well, that could be
so
the start
part
of
the
multiverse.
They don't have a multiverse, and I'm going to say DC has copywritten multiverse.
What if we say that Deadpool is the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson four times removed of Boba Fett? I believe that.
Groot is actually from Kashyyyk.
That's right.
See, now I thought he was an Ent, so I'm very confused with all that.
Han shot the Green Goblin first. Let me just say.
Oh, man!
Yeah, Greedo's the Green Goblin's cousin.
Yeah. See, I could see that.
Colin's head's about to
Hey, there
explode.
Were Skrulls.
Remember the shapeshifter in the second one?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And she did kind of have that line chin thing going, too.
She was a reptilian.
Yeah,
like
so.
The scrolls are.
Yeah, it could be.
Well, we just figured out
I hope
this 2015 stuff.
It's not.
Mic drop. You don't have to buy it now. It's fine.
Bang. Marvel wins.
Mic drop.
Just drop the mic.
Mic drop, yeah. That was still my favorite.
I still don't even
on,
know.
On your Facebook drop. Comment after the Marvel movies was mic drop. I'm like... What does that even mean?
When DC announced their movies, like, people were giving DC flack, like, oh, they have all these movies, they're cramming all this stuff in there. Why didn't they do it at New York Comic Con? Then Marvel does it a week later, and it's like, oh, that's the greatest thing in the world. They had logos.
Oh, man. You know, that was the whole difference. And they didn't have Joss Whedon, and they didn't do it in a theater.
They tricked us with the Captain America thing.
Yeah, but the Guardians of the Galaxy one looked like it was hand-drawn. So.
I think it was intentional.
They weren't ready. They were just like, I got it.
Quickly, put a number two up there.
What do you expect out of Groot, man? He's only got so much dexterity and those big...
He doesn't big anymore. He's a tiny plant.
He'll be big by the next movie.
Well, I don't know how long it takes.
Maybe it'll be adolescent tree. And
that's all kind of tree.
They're going to change it up. They're going to make him ride on Rocket's shoulder.
Oh, and then we'll get a new statue.
Even smaller. This big with a tiny little potted tree.
I'm a little scared about that bobblehead now. It's going to be that big.
It'll retail for $50.
Yeah.
He'll be hooked on Miracle-Gro by that time.
So my only hope is that...
Distorting Miracle-Gro.
They test for that?
Yeah. Performance-enhancing drugs.
Yeah, my only hope is that they give us some more information about what's going on, and they just don't leave this until spring, you know, for, like, all these summer things.
Oh, it's Marvel. They'll let you know 6 months before it happens, so you actually know the story long before you actually have to buy it.
Except Axis, where we had no idea what it was about, we knew it was coming.
As soon as the winter event starts, they'll start...
Yeah, we'll start.
And do we get any news for the during that Disney thing that they do?
D23 is every other year. Wasn't this year. Because I thought the same thing.
It's not
thing.
Going to be this year, is what you're saying.
Right, because that's what I thought was, since they didn't do anything at San Diego, was they were going to announce the movies at D23, but...
It sounds like one of those world summits.
What's that?
D23, it sounds like one of those world summits.
Well, it's essentially what it is.
And then... Doesn't Marvel do their creative summit?
Well, they do like a writer's retreat or something like that, where they kind of seclude them. And
they just kind of hash out the next year of stuff.
This year would have been real easy. Hey, take the other stuff that we used to do. We're just redoing that.
Yeah.
I want Secret War.
You're going to switch around a little bit.
Awesome. So hopefully we'll know more about all that stuff soon. DC announced finally what they're doing, what Bleeding Cool had been calling the Band-Aid. It had gone by several different names, but basically they're moving from New York to L.A., I think in March and April. And so they've always had this plan for something to take place during April and May, shipping-wise, so they wouldn't have to worry about meeting deadlines while someone's driving cross-country or, you know, the lost box and things like that. So they're working on this and getting it done now, so everything's hashed out before this even happens.
Which seems kind of wacky to me that they had to take 2 months off because of this move. It's not like, I mean, the writers could tell their stories. They could have everything ready to go.
I think it's more the editors and all that stuff and production and all that stuff, making sure it was all in place. That's my guess. It just probably is
I guess
complicated.
It just seemed kind
of
odd that...
It's not just the case of moving the offices. It's also all the people, and I'm sure not everybody can move on. You know, okay, move this week, you know, or this weekend.
Well, not only that. I mean, unless you fly, I've done it. It's a week-long drive, and it's a long drive. And then, you know, to unpack and, you know, just to be functional to be able to work,
I get that, but they already have an office presence out there currently.
Yeah.
And they had a month with the Futures End month where a lot of the books didn't have their normal creative teams on it. They could have had an extra book in the pipeline there and then just had it ready to go before the move was starting. I don't know. I just think
they're just trying to do it to make sure there's no problems. Yeah. There's no things don't get totally.
But they're canceling the entire line for those 2 months.
It's not canceling. Okay. They're
but they'll all be convergence books, not
right. You're not
going to
have your regular normal
Batman books.
Or right.
It's essentially going to be 2 months of
hiatus.
Right. It's going to be a weekly. I think it said 9 issues of the main convergence story, and then it's going to be 42 issue stories.
It'll be like the September.
Yeah, so it'll be like Batman Convergence 1 will be in April and 2 will be in May type of thing. So we'll see. I'm sure we'll get a lot more information before. But
now, how did they come up with 51 issues? They should have added one more and then they'd hit 52.
I think it's 49.
You said 9 and
40. Or 80. So, well, it's going to be 89 over the 2 months. So
I thought that... Was over
yeah.
the
Gotcha. Well, 40 1 month, 40 the next month.
Okay.
So we're still going to get the books. But it was funny seeing, I saw a lot of stuff online, retailers just, oh my God, we're not going to have any DC books these 2 months. We're going to go out of business and all this. I'm like, did you go out of business in September when you didn't have your normal books?
Yeah, they're not shutting down so that they don't make any money.
Right, but we're still going to have books, and people, I'm sure, will buy these.
If anything, they'll probably see a spike because people will buy outside of their normal books.
Right, yeah. Right. And like,
do you see that in September? Do you see people buy, like, say someone reads 8 DC titles during the Futures End? Do you see them buying more than what they normally would read?
Not particularly. What I did get out of that is my Futures End numbers have increased
really
since that, and I don't know what else to. I don't want to say blame it on, but to put that on anything other than they read a couple of the Futures End books and liked them and decided to jump in the Futures End because all of a sudden we're at issue 27 this week.
Yeah.
My numbers shouldn't be going up. You know, that doesn't, because I just had to restock basically that whole shelf there. I know I was out of 18, 19. I had ordered more 21s because of the Joker cover or 20s. But yeah, I just got in 21, 22, 23, 25. So I just got those back in because I had sold out. So craziness. It's a good thing. It's a great thing. And I'll probably might even see a bump when the first trade comes out, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, because the trade hasn't been out yet.
No, yeah. So that's
so
why I'm saying.
People are going to have to catch up that way.
Yeah. So, I have them all. So I just totally restocked on the World's End, too. That one's been outperforming much better than I thought it
would
do.
How's that been?
You know, I only read the first one. I'm behind on that one. It's not intentional on it. I'm only reading 5 books. I'm trying to read the number ones. And that's exactly what I did. I read 3 number ones and then Eternal and Futures End. And last night I didn't even read Eternals and Futures. I know. 2 hockey games.
I understand.
Okay? 2 hockey games. You can't read. I couldn't even read during commercials because I was switching to the other game.
So. You can read during 1 hockey game.
No, you can't.
Two.
Well, yeah, but you can't really because, you know, it's constant. You know, during commercials you can, but it's not like football where there's 4 seconds of action and then you gotta.
You can kind of like read and watch over the page a little bit.
Yeah, kind of.
And you can hear, like, you can hear when it starts to get exciting and know when to look.
Sure. But I like to watch my hockey. So we'll see. We'll get more information. But that was their big announcement, their big thing coming on. So Rich Johnson was kind of close. I guess it's going to be written by somebody King.
Jeff King.
Yeah, who
currently writes USA's White Collar.
Okay, yeah, he's. The way it was presented to me, it was, no, he doesn't have comic writing experience, but he has storytelling experience.
He's been a TV writer like most of his career.
So, and he probably knows DiDio, because that's where DiDio started. He was a TV guy.
I'm all for having new writers, you know, give them a shot, but it just seemed like for this big 2-month hiatus event, why would you have someone who doesn't have any comic writing experience and someone who is, I'll say it, like, pretty bad.
Well, Lobdell, I think it's said he's just there for structure,
but still,
which that's fine because he's, you know, maybe they don't want him doing anything else, so he can do this. But it's just, you know,
yes.
And it's just gonna be the nine. He's not writing all 40. Those are gonna be the different creative. He'll be writing that 9 that 9 issue thing. But
I would just think for something like this 2-month hiatus where you're, you know, want to keep people still involved buying the books, you'd put someone who is, you know, a known quantity.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I hear you, but. We've had a lot of good luck with new voices lately. Yeah. Especially, I mean, even going back to Snyder. You know, that run on Detective was really the first thing he ever did.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Charles Soule. And, you know,
but none of them were put on something that high profile in the beginning. I mean, Detective's high profile, but not as high as, you know, Batman proper.
Yeah, it's not
right,
the main.
Right. But, yeah, I mean, this is also, I don't want to say throwaway, but, you know, is it just a little 2-month thing or is it going to have a major impact?
Yeah,
down the
I guess
line.
I think
so we'll
see. If you're putting all your books on hiatus for 2 months, you kind of want to make sure people are engaged for 2 months.
Right, but it also definitely feels like this has been worked on for a while. So this has probably been hashed out through editorial and through everybody to craft kind of a good story. And he might just be dialoguing it or something. Mm. You know, not just dialoguing, but the plot's been worked on. So we'll see. We'll get more information in the upcoming weeks. Any other news you guys know of? I don't remember anything special.
No, it was a quiet news week.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty quiet news week.
Adam's not.
He's playing a game on his phone. That's okay.
Did you watch Gotham this week?
I did.
That was an outstanding episode.
That was a good one. Lots of definitely lots of interesting.
Most of it was good. That show has a unique ability to show me one scene that I completely hate and followed up with a scene that I completely love. Like the scene where Gordon and company go to Wayne Manor.
Oh,
just,
I hated that. Yeah.
Just to tell,
I'm sorry, I might be going to jail.
Just to tell Bruce Wayne,
I may die.
I may not be able to continue with your case, but these folks here, they'll pick up on it for you. Like, absolutely horrible scene, had no point being there, and then follow up with this phenomenal scene with the Penguin.
Yeah.
I did. The only thing I did like about that was Alfred catching the cop.
Yeah.
And, you know, hey, wait, I found this guy stalking around.
I would have
around.
No problem if this show had interactions with Alfred and Gordon, but trying to shoehorn in or force Bruce, showing him becoming or going on the path of becoming Batman and establishing this relationship with Gordon, it feels too
it's
much,
forced.
Too forced, and it's not necessary. Yeah. Establish the connection with Alfred and have him kind of be like the in-between for them if you want to do that. But
There was a lot I liked. Like when Gordon got shot, I didn't see that coming. It's like, oh, how's he going to get out of it? Oh, crap.
He's
got shot twice. What? So I enjoyed that.
But I like that whole scene with Zaz. He comes in. Where's Jim?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, he's over here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There's 50 cops in this room.
Everybody leave. Yeah. Please?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good. And I like the whole thing with the Penguin. I don't know what he offers to any of them or why they keep him around. That's the only thing I don't quite understand about him. But I definitely like how he's playing everybody.
Well, he's offering inside information to Maroni. He's snitching for Falcone. He offered more money to.
That was a good scene.
Yeah.
That was a good scene.
I like this honk honk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
They're establishing him as someone who seems to really know like what everyone wants and how to give them that.
Yeah, no, that's been good. I also thought the second episode of Constantine was fantastic compared to the first one.
Yeah.
Now the first one was bad, but it wasn't great. I thought the second one definitely got more.
For a pilot, though, it was surprisingly good.
Yeah.
Especially because when the trailer came out for that pilot, I thought it looked awful. But the first episode was good, and the second episode was really solid.
Yeah. I just thought that was real good. I like Zed. I love all the artwork in the background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially one with the cover of Hellblazer 1, and it was like neat little Easter eggs that they were throwing out to the fans. Here's some classic covers. We're just showing them as images, but I thought it was well done, how he figured everything out, how he dealt with it. Because the first one made him... I remember one of the things that said exorcist. And I'm like, no, he's not an exorcist. He's not religious at all.
Yeah, the first episode played him up as being an exorcist.
Yeah, where he's just... He knows enough to deal with demons, but not so much... He's not religious. He knows what there is to say. Like the one thing he was saying to that priest. I'd love for that priest to join him. I thought he was great, but he probably won't because it looked like he was starting the church up again and everything. But he starts reciting that one thing. He's like, that's the thing on what's-his-name shield. Yeah, I know that too.
St. Patrick's
Shield.
But it was just...
With the first episode, I had a bad feeling that they were going to make it a lot like the Keanu Reeves movie.
Okay.
But the second episode definitely established it more as the, comic universe Constantine.
The only thing I didn't like about that was about 10 minutes... Actually, it wasn't. When he died, I knew the wife did it. And then when she had the coal on her arm, I mean, it was like, okay, you made this one a little too easy for people to get. Like, I get that it's...
You knew that she did it, but by the end of the episode, who did it, who committed the initial murder wasn't as important, I don't think, as, like, the overall mystery as to what was going on.
No,
I almost forgot that he still had to, confront the killer.
But it was still what was neat. Yeah, I agree. But also what I liked is that he used her magic against her, which is something he does a lot in the books, where it's just basically, oh, yeah, but these are the minors, the ones that you...
Oh, your husband was one?
Yeah, was the one that killed them, and...
He's a little pissed off at you now, so...
So, no, I enjoyed that. The one scene that was a little bit weird was when he was going to the mine and he was, like, running around the truck and stuff. It was like, no, not John Constantine, action hero. That doesn't that doesn't fly at all. But no, I liked it. And then there was one scene that was a little bit weird where he was pouring the water over his head while looking at everything.
Yeah.
And it's like he couldn't see because there was water in his eyes. It's like, okay, where are you? It just seemed really awkward. And then as soon as he saw the vision, he immediately stopped pouring. It was just,
it was
a little weird.
Like, shouldn't he even continue to pour that?
Yeah, either continuing or why are you pouring it over your eyes at all? I like Zed. I like Zed a lot more than that first girl, Liv.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird that they had Chad sit out the second episode because of what? Oh, something about crashing a train due to a succubus. It was just that was a little weird where Chad's was kind of gone. I was kind of glad they didn't have that angel devil guy.
Yeah.
Michael
from Lost.
Yeah, I don't quite get his role or what he's doing.
I just remember from Oz.
Yeah, so do I.
He was from Lost. He's from Sons of Anarchy.
No, I didn't know Sons of Anarchy.
He was Pope.
I never watched
it. Watched it.
No. So that was good. Arrow's been okay. Last Flash was really good. I didn't watch the last one, but the one from last week was really good.
Well, there wasn't one last night. It was a repeat. They repeated the... because of election night. That's why they didn't have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. either.
What?
Okay.
Well, I still got to watch that special, too.
See, you came in here thinking you were behind, but...
Yeah, I'm not. Actually,
yes.
You're right on par with all of us.
I'm caught up. And I watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine yesterday. Oh, sorry.
But you watched Walking Dead, though.
I didn't see that.
No, I'm behind a Walking Dead.
It was an all-Beth episode, and that's the best I can
excellent.
Say
was she singing, or was she drunk?
All-Beth all the time.
No, actually, she did not sing or drink.
Wow. What good is she? Sorry. She didn't sing to the baby?
There's no interaction with the baby.
Man. Does she still have Herschel's head?
In a bag, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Which, that was fine, but it was the eight other ones that she had. That was a little creepy.
It happens.
And they're
all yelling at each other?
I didn't see that.
Carl's, wow.
Yeah, I didn't see that comment.
No, what? It's not Carl, it's...
Carl!
Carl Papa.
Carl Papa.
Carl
Papa. I watched that like 20 times in a row one day. It's too much. Okay. Well, I think we've covered our media notes.
Yeah.
Wow, we're flying through. Books. Dave, what did you read? Oh, sorry, you're in charge, Pat. You go.
Dave,
I'll just sit here. I'll play on my phone. Hang on, I'll be on it.
Three things. Southern Bastards, number six.
Five.
I'm sorry.
Say, how'd you read six, man?
Man,
I'm the one that get the previews.
Dave's that good.
I'm that good.
I can't wait to read more of
this. Spoil it for everybody else. Like I mentioned before, today's the day time travel was invented.
It's
the anniversary. November 5th, 1955. So.
Kid Doc Brown.
Southern Bastards number 5. It was a... now that Earl died... In the last issue.
Couldn't believe it. I walked out when you guys talked about number 4.
Yeah, because it was one of those, I can't believe what happened. Because the other ones have been good, but not,
I read the trade on it on plane a week or so ago, and getting the end, I still like, I had a feeling like, oh, something's happened to Earl. And then when it's starting to play, I'm like, oh, no, not this, it's going to be the boss or whatever. And then when they finished him off,
I know, you
I was
think
pretty,
the whole series is going to be about Earl, and then he...
Not so much.
Not so much, exactly.
And then you get to find out who's been on the phone the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
But sorry, you guys are...
That was brutal.
This.
Well, I don't give away too much since you haven't read...
No, yes, it's fine.
Five
it's fine.
Yet,
he's reading
unless it's something like...
But,
unless it's like crazy...
No, no, it's just an all a Coach Boss. It's like Coach Boss's story.
Yeah, some background on Coach Boss and kind of how he got started, how he got to be the way he is. But it's... You see him, you know... He's not good enough to make the football team when he
was.
So
that was accurate what
mm-hmm.
Earl was saying
mm-hmm.
in 4 about Coach Boss.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's the coach.
And that's what probably pushed
fight.
Him over the edge too.
But still, you know, I have a hard time sympathizing for the guy. You know,
He even shows up at the funeral.
He shows up at the funeral,
and everybody's kind of no one will acknowledge what he did, even the sheriff.
Yeah, and they're wondering what to put on his tombstone. And on his daddy's, they see that Coach Boss says on his daddy's was, here was a man, so on his, on Earl's, they should put, here wasn't.
Man.
Yeah, seriously, just, and then he wants people to remember what he did. So he takes the stick, the bat that he used, and he goes to his restaurant. The bloody bat, he still hasn't washed it off, and he puts it on the mantle inside his restaurant so everybody can see the bat that he used to kill Earl Tubbs. Just unbelievable.
Yeah, usually you don't parade murder weapons, like, out and, hey, look at this, it's a murder weapon. Yeah, you don't do that.
Unless it's Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Well, it's a different time.
Yeah. Well, the inclusion of zombies throws all the other rules out the window.
Yeah, so his daughter, she's not in it at all. She's not in this issue. So I'm looking forward to, I'm sure sooner or later she's going to come to Craw County and find out what happened. I just like the art's good. I just like the touches. One of the guy when they're at the funeral, one of Coach Boss's guys, he has on the tuxedo T-shirt.
That's class.
So that's Craw County class, and I thought that was all the little touches like that are really good. So it's just didn't give away too much for you, Josh.
No, it's fine.
But yeah, it was a good
book.
You'll
cry later.
You can beat me up after the
podcast. Dave ruined it, Debbie.
He gets in his car and he's just like, Dave! He's holding
it up. Trade waiting!
a book that won't be around long, I guess, but I read Fantastic Four, number 12. I think it's number 12 that came out last week.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Yeah, it just started
I don't think they published that one anymore.
Is that a Marvel book?
It just started the Marvel Universe or something, and it's not getting any love.
They're canceling that. Poor sales, bad concept.
How were the sales on that?
Not good. You know, it was decent before Hickman. Hickman, from what I understand, it was a good story. The problem was it was a story that went two whole omnibuses. Mm-hmm. So if you didn't get in early, I don't think it was inviting to people to try it.
When did Hickman's run start?
While back.
Because that went all the way through when they became three and the FF run. Yeah.
Wasn't it doing well whenever Fraction was writing it, though?
No.
No?
Fractions was not doing well because it was Fantastic Four and FF.
Yeah.
And then when they relaunched it again with Robinson, I think people just kind of went, you know, enough's enough with all these number ones.
I actually didn't mind Fraction's run as much. It was an interesting concept, but the end was horrible. Okay. It just fell apart.
My problem with Fraction's run is right before it starts, right before all Marvel Now started, right after Age of Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened in Age of Ultron?
Time travel.
You can't time travel. What did they do in the very first issue of Fantastic Four? Time travel. And I remember going, really?
Yeah. But to say...
Didn't they get stuck, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, it was broken. They shouldn't have done it.
Right.
Yeah.
But I just remember going, whatever. You know, and then you see covers with, you know, Mr. Fantastic punching George Washington. It was just like, really? That's where we're going?
In its defense, though, it was not the only Marvel book that was doing time travel.
Yeah.
At that time.
Yeah, it wasn't Hulk time traveling at this...
Hulk was stuck in, like, a 7-issue Age of Ultron aftermath thing that completely ruined that book. Like, any moment in the book had, I think. Where he was on a pirate ship and riding a dinosaur and... I'm not making it up. Like...
It sounds like something a 5-year-old wrote.
There was the dinosaur book. There was the pirate ship issue.
Yeah, the pirate
ship. There was all kinds of crazy ones.
And Hulk was on a pirate ship, and he rode a dinosaur, and it was awesome.
It's just like, you have Mark Waid writing this. Why are you, you know, forcing him to tie it into this? I mean, maybe he wanted to do it that way, but I don't know.
FYI, not everything has to tie into the event.
Well, I like James Robinson's writing on this. It's very, very accessible. Just to recap, the Fantastic Four is falling apart. Ben is in jail for being framed for killing the Puppet Master. Johnny lost his powers. They're out of the Baxter Building because all these creatures got out into New York.
And then we already know 8 months later, Sue's hunting Reed.
Sue's being taken over by Malice.
Okay.
A little bit from John Byrne's run. I don't know. And so why Wingfoot is in here, and he has figured out he's attacked by someone who looks like Hawkeye, and Spider-Man saves him, and then he figures out that nothing's happening in a vacuum here. Something is causing all these things to happen to the Fantastic Four, and it's all connected.
Annihilus. Sorry.
You think it has something to do with all the stuff that they mess with.
And at the end, Reed, he's on this floating city, Eden, And this, the John Eden, I think is his name. He's not who he thinks he is. And at the end, Reed is apparently blown to bits by some Iron Man who's on, or Iron Man armor. I'm sure it's,
is it Enzo?
It's not Tony. And the city gets blown apart, and that's the cliffhanger there.
That's a series. Oh, no.
And that's it. And Johnny wears a Howard the Duck t-shirt at the beginning, I liked. He's finally over his parting and stuff, and he wants to figure out what's going on, too, finally.
Yeah, he was having a whole bunch of issues, wasn't he?
Does he have his powers back now?
He doesn't have his powers. He still doesn't have his powers.
Marvel will take him with his powers away.
Because they have their own Human Torch.
You can do a new number one when you get him back. That's
yeah. Somehow I don't think they're going to make that Human Torch movie.
We've saw one, but that's about it.
And I read the new Deathlok, number one.
Captain America, wasn't
it? Mm-hmm.
That was awesome. Because it's the Michael Collins one, right?
It's Henry Hayes.
Henry Hayes. That's not the name of the guy in the TV show.
Kind of looks like him, though.
So Mike Anderson.
Yeah, Michael Collins wasn't his name.
No, that was the original.
Not in the, I think it's the TV show.
I thought it was an Irish Revolutionary.
It was Mike Anderson. And then, but yeah, they both have one bionic leg.
I would believe you, though, if you said that. It sounds like
he's a bionic leg. He's working for Medics Without Borders. So that's how...
Mm, that sounds familiar.
He doesn't know he's Deathlok.
How do you not know that?
Don't they all have bionic legs?
You have a terminator inside of you, you don't know that?
The original Deathlok was mostly bionic, just with, like, a little bit of the head or something.
That was about it, yeah, that's what I thought. Huh.
And he's being controlled by... He's a former agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., and... Marie Hill, and he disappeared, and Marie Hill's trying to figure out what happened to him, and you don't know who's controlling this Deathlok, Henry Hayes. So he has like a 12-year-old daughter too. So it's like half with his at home, his home life with his daughter, and half killing people, I guess. And I forget where he went. Colin, do you remember?
Some like African country.
Some country where the black tarantula was helping.
Yeah, also, yeah, probably Central America.
Central America.
Yeah, and then he shoots him in the head.
Yeah.
And yeah, it felt very paint by numbers.
Who
was nothing
it?
Exciting. Nathan Edmondson.
Oh, he's the one that you.
Yeah, I shouldn't talk bad because. The next issue might be 18 months.
I kind of like the art.
Is that what you're hoping
Mike
for?
Mike Perkins.
That's the guy who he made the comment to on, or not
about
too directly,
where is Jake Ellis?
Yeah, and he got all butthurt about it.
Yeah.
What were you saying there?
I kind of like I like the art, Mike Perkins.
Yeah, no, the art was good. I just thought the story was just
because there's a scene of him jump. There's one page of him, you know, jumping off this runaway train, and I thought that was a cool,
felt very graceful,
cool photo. Sir. Yeah. So, but that's it for me. That's all I have.
That's it? Jeez. Josh? You read anything, or are you just trade waiting everything now?
Let Pat go, so I can chime in on some of his stuff.
Okay, Pat, you can go.
Oh, okay.
See you. Oh.
Oh, you mean you want me to talk about the books I read?
It's like I had a lady come up to the counter. She's like, oh, do you want to check me out now? I'm like, okay. Looking good.
So you do that with
the... She laughed.
Oh, okay. You got to be careful who you do that to.
Yes, no.
And Colin has a court date next week.
Oh, turn around, bend over.
Just
all
the way
right.
She said it was just very funny.
Go on.
At least she didn't say those shoes make you look fat. That would have been...
No.
Sinestro.
That was the first issue of Sinestro that I've read. Have you been reading like the whole...
Yeah, I've been reading it.
Is it normally like as good as... I mean, I really enjoyed it.
I've enjoyed it.
Man, it was a really good tie-in to Godhead.
Yeah.
I love how like brutal that book
is. Yeah, it's more brutal than any of the other books. It's more brutal than Red Lanterns, which is, you know, kind of... But, I mean, Sinestro, he could wear a red ring.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'd get away with that.
Yeah.
But it's weird because he's very anti-hero.
Yeah,
like you can still see where he's trying to be the hero for his own purposes, but he's
To do what he perceives to be the right thing, but his, you know, methods are like he doesn't care how he goes about it. He has that singular like focus or goal
is
in mind.
Is the control of Parallax?
No.
What happened to Parallax? He just that's one thing I was wondering. When they started the series, because I know at the end of the Jeff Jones run, he was...
When it first started, he basically was without fear.
Okay.
Like, he mastered fear to the point where he didn't have fear.
Yeah.
So when it started, he was having himself attacked by these tiger things just to see if it would scare him or, you know, would put fear back in him. And then
Did they really go back to that at all? That whole Parallax thing?
No.
Huh.
Not too much.
Yeah, because I remember they kind of made a big deal about it at the end of the Jeff Johns run, because like that's how he took Parallax in, and then...
But it's almost like he took Parallax in and he controls...
That's what he used it. Yeah,
He is Parallax, and you know...
But they gave him like a new look and everything. That's the whole thing.
Like confused crazy
them.
Armor.
Yeah, he had all this armor, and then he went and killed the Guardians, and then he left.
No, he's wearing more of the classic Sinestro yellow. Yeah.
Yeah, that's something. Because that was one of the entities that didn't go beyond the Source Wall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was the one that... Which I thought that was a little odd...
Yeah, because you're thinking fear doesn't get replenished.
Not refilled? Yeah, so I didn't get that.
Although you would also think that's more of a base or instinct that's going to say, if nothing survives, that's the one that will.
Well, the only thing is, I guess everything gets replenished because the White Lantern was really what replenished it? Isn't that what they were saying?
Yeah.
That's the whole point of him, because he does have yellow.
It's still
kind of
confusing as to what exactly...
Yeah, it's really
happened beyond the Source Wall.
It seems like beyond like what Jeff Johns' plan was for the book, and then what their plan for the book, they didn't really like communicate that little part.
I don't think when Jeff Johns ended it, and I'm sure he knew what they were planning to do, but I think when he wrapped up the story, he probably didn't intend for it to continue with that direct story.
Yeah.
Whereas the, you know.
Yeah, because New Guardians, which was really the basis of that original Source Wall story.
Mm-hmm.
It went in a completely different direction. I actually liked it better when it was going towards the Source Wall and a team up.
Yeah.
They had the Sinestro Corps saves the day because you have the Greens and the Indigos fighting the New Gods and not doing very well. And then, you know, Sinestro
thins the herd.
Yeah. And it was pretty brutal where he had a glut of yellow lanterns, so you know he's basically pruning the tree so the tree thrives, and has the rings. He basically tells Archilo, take squad one, cover the greens and the indigos, and then get out of there. Squad two is staying there, and then all of a sudden activate self-destruct, the rings go, and they're stuck to face the New Gods with no power.
Yeah.
I think they were dead when the rings exploded. I think it killed them all.
Because it said that they were. It showed where they were gone, but the guys were still standing there, and they screamed out to them.
Yeah, but I think once the rings exploded, it took out them and the soldiers for the lieutenant.
And that was really weird. It was like everything was for your love or something like that, or it was either for your love or
all of her soldiers would say for your love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was
like almost like they were in some sort of, you know, trance to obey her.
Yeah, almost like they were Star Sapphires.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a little different, but I liked it.
Yeah.
Harley Quinn.
I didn't read last week's yet.
I got it. I started reading it. I wasn't really that like into it. I thought the way that they did the Scratch and Sniff was kind of interesting. Because do you remember Scratch and Sniff years ago? Mm-hmm. It was like this little spots. This wasn't like spots. It was the book. Like, you know, it was well done. Like, they had these instances.
It was gimmicky, but well done.
Yeah, and it had these parts where she would, like, say something. It was really creative how they did it, everything. You know, there was the spot where she was, like, in this little circle, and she was just, like, you know, she'd make a joke about something.
Yeah, rub your finger on here.
And then there was one part in it, which I thought was funny, where they were eating prison food, and she's like, do you really think we didn't have you smell prison food or something? So there wasn't anything there, but No, it was just something different. I thought that was kind of... DC's really big on gimmicky like things recently. Just the
but it wasn't distracting.
It's interesting. I think it works normally. They do it, if you do it well, it works. They were doing a lot of like cover like stuff. Like they do these
lenticular cover,
and then they do the they were doing the gatefolds and the
die cut.
Yeah. And there was something else that they were doing a lot. Scott Snyder was doing a lot of.
When they did the quarterback Death of the Family, they had all the Joker die cut covers.
Yeah, they had that, and then they had. They had another one, didn't they? Oh, they had the embossed for Zero Year.
That's right,
they did the embossed.
Yeah.
So they always do some sort of gimmicky like thing, but this actually put it part of the story, so it was just kind of different. I mean, you can't do it all the time, but works for what they did it for.
They were embossed for the Zero Year?
Yeah.
The only, not all of them, but the ones that were like the Zero Year logo and it would say Zero Year, like in between each section of that story. I think there were like three sections, I believe.
Yeah.
And
it was like Savage City...
something. Zero, I think you said Zero Issues.
No. And then they did do the Zero Issues, but they weren't anything special about them. The gatefolds were interesting, but I thought they were kind of ruined because they were supposed to be surprising when you opened them up, and it was just like, oh, it's this, and then they just kind of gave them up on the internet. But you can't do stuff like that these days with the internet, especially with Bleeding Cool. So,
I think with the gatefold, their combo issues, like, it didn't have the inside... fold. It was just the outside half. It was missing the inside.
Something like that, I think.
That's what you get going digital.
Yeah.
I kind of like the Zero when they did the Zeros. I thought those were a good idea.
Yeah, they
give you a little bit of a retelling of the origin that they couldn't tell. Like, people don't want to... People want to know what they're doing, but they don't want to, like, be retold. Like, the first issue, they don't want their origin story. That's the big thing about movies right now that they don't want. And with that, they waited a little while, then gave us a little bit of a retelling of everything separately. Yeah. So
that's it. But there's certain origin stories you can tell because people don't. You don't need to tell Batman's origin story. You don't need to tell Superman's origin story.
I thought they did I like the villain origins mainly because you needed kind of some retellings. Like I like Mr. Freeze. It's not like my favorite telling of Mr. Freeze, but Scott Snyder's take on that. They had those. They had
that was actually on, was in an annual. Wasn't
there was
it?
An annual,
yeah.
And then they went back to the story in the villain issue, and then like they told like he was looking for his father or something, and it, because he like restarted a family and he wasn't thrilled about that. But they made him more of a psychopath in this than they make him.
And it was because they had made him more of a sympathetic character for a time.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. They made him more of not like an anti...
He was just trying to save Nora.
Not really an anti-hero, but... Yeah, he was just... That was his mission. He was a psychopath, but it was in a different way. Like, this time he's kind of a monster.
Yeah.
Kind of like a serial killer more than anything. But yeah, it was Harley Quinn. It was really cool.
World's End.
That... I really like that. And, I won't tell you anything that happened today, but today's was really good.
Okay.
It's a really fun
show. I'd been on the fence with that just because I wasn't reading Earth 2.
Yeah.
And it's a little confusing, and I've had to go back and try to figure some things out. It's not that it's a bad story. It's just I don't necessarily know who all the players are in this.
It ties really well. Like, it does. You have to be reading that. It helps that it's not weekly like this one, but... There are points in it that, like, they're tying, like, stuff that's happening with Earth 2, but the main story is World's End. So, like, if you follow World's End as the main book, then Earth 2, like, this won't give any away about today's, like, but today's, it's the only way I'm going to be able to explain this, but today's Earth 2 book, it was about the Furies, where they started. So it was a telling of their origin, all of the four of them. So that's what it's kind of, it fills in little gaps.
Okay.
That was really good.
And that may help kind of...
I do suggest reading Earth 2 with it.
I've been picking it up for the past couple months, knowing that this was starting, but...
Yeah, it's one of those things. But you know what, I'm assuming that if you're going to be reading World's End, you're into the Earth 2 storyline to begin with. I mean, not necessarily if you're like wanting to pick up a new book.
You could have people that are reading Future's End though and want to see what led
how
to,
that started.
You
know. Yeah, that's the exception, and there is exceptions like that. So I do, you know, I'm going to say a lot of the time it was the people continuing Earth 2, but you're right. It's there's different exceptions into, you know, they might want to just jump into this story or this weekly or whatever they're wanting to do. But yeah, you really do have to kind of. It helps. It's not like it's. I don't think you're necessarily. I mean, would you say you're missing something, or do you think it would help maybe define the book a little more?
I think it's more that like looking at things I don't necessarily understand the relationships and
things. I can see that. Like, it enforces it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it just makes it more of a challenge for you. But the story itself is fine. It's just more of a challenge.
Now, were you reading Earth 2 before?
No.
Okay, so how are you liking the characters and the event and what's going on?
So I picked up, I think, the last three issues of Earth 2 to try to figure out what's going on. I think the last one, it was because the only other Earth 2 issue I had read was the one dealing, I think it was the annual, and it dealt with when Thomas Wayne.
Oh, that was the Thomas Wayne issue?
Yeah, the Thomas Wayne versus Bruce Wayne issue, where, you know, he's basically doing Venom in order to be Batman.
Were there two annuals out? There one not that long ago? I feel like there was one, Colin, you read one that was, like, you read it and you liked it. It was kind of like a refresher of Earth 2. Was that the annual? Was that one of these?
Yeah, it was World's End number one.
Yeah, World's End number one kind of did that.
That's, like, the best thing. Like, you don't really have to go back in this so much, because that did refresh, like, it gave you, like, a story. Basically, the whole story is, of Earth 2 is that, it's all about Apocalypse. They've been fighting Earth 2 since the beginning of the story.
Okay.
And once they seem to think they get a break, like the heroes get a break, they come back at him with something else. So they're really wanting that planet.
So was Dick Grayson never...
No, that's new.
Nightwing in Earth 2?
He wasn't even in it. You hardly saw these characters now. He wasn't Nightwing.
Okay, and then Barbara Gordon was just a cop.
She's just a cop.
Okay, because that part never made sense.
They just somehow met each other. I guess maybe he... I don't know if they explained if he was a cop, because Dick Grayson has a history of being a cop. Maybe not New 52, but... Yeah, they kind of just threw them in as just they're like, we need a civilian-like characters to tell a story with. And I feel like that's why they did that.
Okay, because like, there's a scene in that book where they're getting basically robbed while the... You know, that the camp is just being overrun by a mob at that point. And I was expecting him to go all Nightwing and start clubbing people, and it never happened.
He's kind of laid back. Like, she's more of the
She's the aggressor.
Yeah, because she's a cop. And they're not letting her do her job because they, you know, the world police have taken over as that.
Okay.
I find them interesting, too, the world police and all this. That they even have something like this, because they don't have Argus. They don't have stuff like that. They have the World Police, and it's like this United Nations, basically. Mainly because they had one like big tragedy, which was the first time that the forces of Apocalypse like attack them, and they kill three of their what they call I feel like they call them Wonders. They call them Wonders. They're not superheroes on Earth 2. They're Wonders, and they killed Wonder Woman, Superman, and Batman.
Okay.
And then after this, they clean up and they form like the World Army. Did I call them the police? They're the World Army.
They kill Bruce Wayne, Batman.
Yeah, Bruce.
I thought
Diana
Bruce Wayne
Clark.
Died some other way.
He sacrifices himself to.
I thought that there was something else going on with that in the annual.
The annual mainly they introduced him into it, and then after that he's killed. I think in the annual
there was a conflict between him and his father.
Yeah. I don't remember. I mean, I have to go look back at that. I know the main reason of death is that he had to sacrifice himself because he used that to destroy. I don't remember if it was like the fire pit or whatever, but it was something that was digging into it. Something that was creating the pits.
Okay.
Is what it was. And then Diana was stabbed by Steppenwolf, I believe.
Yeah, they showed that on the. It was like a flashback, and one of the Furies.
Yeah.
I guess that Wonder Girl.
It is Fury. I think her name is Fury. And that's her child with Steppenwolf. And then Clark, I think, was with Lois at the time, and they basically had Power Girl as a like child, like they raised her. Yeah. So.
Right, and Lois is Red Tornado. Yeah. Right. Okay.
No, I mean it's decent. I really like Earth 2 to begin with. And just this little companion. I don't know what's going to happen exactly. That's my biggest question, is what's going to happen after World's End? Because once this weekly series is over and they get to the point, does that mean no more Earth 2? Because I have a feeling there is no more Earth
2. Well, but that's 5 years still in the future, isn't it? Or at least close to it.
Well, no, it's not that far.
But it's still like
it's 3 years in the future. Yeah,
Future's End is taking place after.
The Earth 2 book will still probably continue.
I mean, the book could become like their own team on Earth 1 or something. Ooh. I mean, I guess they could keep it going.
Team
somehow.
Earth 2.
But I still think Earth 2 or something, yeah.
I mean, unless they jump the current book ahead, it's not going to be at that point.
Well, just going by the title, World's End, my guess is Earth 2 doesn't exist. At the
end. World's End, Earth 2 won't exist, but I'm saying the Earth 2 book, that timeline is still in the current timeline, so it's not going to be...
Well, no, that Earth 2 is now tying in with
World's End. Oh, so that's skipped ahead in time.
You know, that's a thing World's End,
And World's Finest is telling untold stories of Earth 2.
That they keep bringing up Darkseid, but for some reason, since the events of Justice League 1...
Yeah,
and that fight that he's like hibernating or something. Yeah, they show that you can see is that he's like, they show this wall and it has his symbol on it, and supposedly he's like resting or something, like almost like
he's going
Odin. So like he's doing this, and then
Justice League kicked his butt.
Well, his son is leading them, and I think we're seeing that. I think that was in Robin. Was his name Kalibak? Is kind of running things, and then you have Dasaad, which kind of disappeared for a while.
He just showed up.
So yeah, there's a whole bunch of cool characters. But
Granny Goodness still hasn't showed up.
Yeah, no, we have, and which is odd because of the Furies, which I assume them. I always tie them together because they are kind of together. But they're actually what's cool about this story is the end battle is what they're doing is. They're bringing Apocalypse to Earth 2. Like, I've never seen them actually bring the entire planet to them through a boom tube. So, that's kind of different. But, yeah, really good series.
Future's End.
It's good.
Check that off, yeah.
Check. I love the scene with Batman and Firestorm.
Yeah, that was kind of your head out of your ass. You're supposed to be a superhero. Be a superhero. Know who you're dealing with. Green Arrow's that kind of guy. He fooled you. Get over it.
So we haven't really seen, before this issue, the 5 years in the future Batman much.
No, not at all.
He just came just to put the smack down.
Well, so, but what
that's what I love.
What I was wondering was, what's it going to be like? Because we saw these, you know, Futures End...
Right.
Batman issues, and they say that that is, like, what they're going towards, but they kind of conflict with each other in how they portray Batman. So I was interested to see, like, which one we're going to see in the actual book. And he certainly didn't look like a death-warmed-over, back-is-all
Batman.
He looked like the billionaire playboy, you know, same-as-ever Batman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A little different of a suit.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little more armored. Yeah.
But still, like, even before, I mean...
You couldn't tell. Maybe he had the back brace on.
Really? Yeah, it could be. It was very black.
His face didn't look like he was, you know, about to die, though, like he did in that Scott Snyder issue. But.
What does Snyder know?
That was a very weird issue.
Yeah, it sounded like you
were shut your mouth right
Snyder
now,
doesn't have anything to do with Future's End. He's doing all that Eternally stuff.
Yeah.
That probably sells terribly.
Yeah, horrible. I hate that I have to sell 4 a month. It's terrible.
5 a month last month.
Yeah. See. Oh God.
And the 50 Sue stuff. That's just a weird character.
It is.
Yeah. Although I hate
her name so much.
Yeah, because it's.
I think her name is just funny. You know, it's just.
Well, at this point, I guess. But when I read the first issue and I saw this character 50 Sue, I hated it. Like I stopped in the middle of reading the book. I was like, this is.
I hear you.
But did you see, it was like a full splash page, and there was like...
Her dossier.
Yeah, and there was like 4 spots in there where they had to throw 52 in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was like
52, different strain or different
DNA strain. Yeah, it was okay. Yeah, we get it. There's 52. We got it.
They gave us a little more of an explanation on her, a little bit.
But she's
a god.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's almost like Franklin Richards.
What were they trying to make exactly? They were taking
they were trying to make their own superhero,
and they created something a little more.
Mm-hmm. But like that's just the image she can take or the shape she can take. Yeah, she can take anything she wants.
And
Faraday bailed on everybody.
And Deathstroke.
Deathstroke. It looks like he pissed her off a little bit. She wanted to be the Robin to his Batman, mm-hmm. and
well, maybe she'll take it easy on what's his name now. Be his sidekick.
Be a grifter sidekick.
Wow.
Well, grifter. She was treating him almost like their son or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that
it was a good issue.
Yeah,
it was a good issue.
It's picked up.
And then Batman Eternal.
That was okay.
That was interesting. Yeah. Just Batman trying to deal with Arkham and all the people in there and stuff. Yeah.
Okay. So I may have been confused. I know.
What else?
I know. I know Batwing is canceled. Did Batwing die at that?
Looked like it.
It looks like it, but I don't even know. I'm not positive.
I don't think they're
going
to kill off Batwing. But they definitely left it open to interpretation.
Yeah.
Yeah. They left it till...
But I didn't know if... I think they'll leave it hanging for a little bit. Suit power down? Yeah. Or if that's
the
it.
The suit power down...
Or the next issue, it'll fly out of rubble.
I mean, the suit power down, but they definitely made it more dramatic with him, you know, praying for five panels.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, isn't the Spectre down there as well?
Yeah, Spectre's down there.
Yeah, which was weird in the sense that he didn't want to release the Spectre because it made it look like the bad guy would take charge of him or something. There was a whole thing with that.
No, he couldn't release the Spectre.
Okay.
He wanted to, but it wouldn't come out.
Yeah, the Spectre
Then when it finally did, everything was done.
Because that all has to do with, like, I guess what God wants.
Yeah, it's...
If he doesn't want... Like, and then I guess at that time he was like, oh, now it's time.
Corgan is just a vessel he has no control over.
Yeah, he wanted him, but it wouldn't work.
Gotcha.
And he expected it, too.
Yeah, at one point he was like,
How much worse can this get?
When I want you to come out, you won't come out. When I don't, you come out.
Yeah, that's kind of why, so. And he was Spectre when the cave-in, so I don't know what happens there.
Guess God Spectre's massive. I didn't realize how...
He can be whatever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he can be whatever. Yeah, he changes, like, all the time. Like, in Phantom Stranger, he was kind of big, and then he wasn't. Yeah, he tries to be intimidating as far as what it is.
Did that Corgan book start yet?
That's Gotham After
Which
Dark.
I think that might be interesting, because I've kind of started to like the character a little better.
I'm intrigued by it. I think the art's great. I'm not a huge Ray Fox fan.
Yeah, that's the only thing. And wasn't he the one that was writing a lot of the villain, not villain issues, but the Future's End issues?
Some. He wrote the last Batman Eternal.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. It was okay. It wasn't one of the better issues, but it led us into a little bit of what's happening in Arkham Manor.
Yeah.
Which I'm not even sure exactly. Some things confused me in that book a little bit with the, did he lose his money? We might have talked about this last week. I didn't understand if he lost his money.
Lost it?
Lost it.
He lost his money?
I fixed it.
He lost it.
You fixed it?
No, I fixed it. I was supposed to.
I hash cheeseburger, please?
Yes.
But it's, yeah, I didn't really get that. I didn't get that. And they kept making statements like, what was it that they were saying? Like that he lost all of his money and like their idiot son or something like that. They were, it was weird. I didn't understand. I was like, have we not seen something? Like, did something happen?
I think part of it's the opposite. I think because we've already seen 5 years in the future. More or less, because we're seeing it in Future's End. The Batman, the Endgame storyline starts after Batman Eternal. So, we know he's living in the tower, we know he's not, he has money because he still has the tower, he still has all
this. Well, but
it's almost like you know too much, and then you start trying to piece it together.
And that's one thing that I still didn't understand is, though, nobody necessarily knows there's a 13th floor to that building.
Yeah.
So he might not own the building, but he might just be hiding there because nobody knows.
Well, that's the Owl building. He's living in the Owl apartments. Yeah.
Which actually,
he's living in Wayne Tower on the 13th floor of Wayne Tower. That's the floor nobody can get to. So that's the first. Wasn't that the modern Owl was in there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then every other piece of architecture, they hide somewhere else in them, in the 13th floor. So all the 13th floors. Okay.
That actually reminds me. I'm hoping that they bring the Court of Owls into the Gotham show. I think that would be,
nice.
That would be a really good way to explain the Wayne murders, because that seems like something that they would do anyway.
Yeah.
Versus like the Batman Begins route with the League of Assassins or the League of Shadows.
Or it's just Joe Chill when we just left.
But that's just it. Because
with nice shoes.
Just the guy.
You can have people do things.
He bought it with his crime money.
And you know, expand the expand their history without actually affecting the book. Yeah. I just think it's a different, and we know that they've gone on for so long, so having a true big bad behind the shadows.
Yeah.
Interesting concept.
Yeah, I don't see why they can't. I mean, they might as well, because I mean Marvel is doing a lot of that. Like they're bringing in characters that, you know, like you figure that's the direction they're going to kind of go with, because it's being accepted fairly well. But I don't know how Captain Marvel is going to be accepted, but you know it might not. But that seems like a good idea, bringing in some of the modern into it. I mean they did that with the animated series years ago,
mm-hmm.
and it worked. So I'd like that. I mean I'd love to see that. That would be really cool. I want to see him in the video game, to tell you the truth, but
yeah,
just one of the like modern characters that you don't like. Not a lot of characters take off, and then like that was one. Modern
and that way, it keeps it different too, since Arrow is using the League.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think they screwed him up in the comics. Though. I really do. I think they overdid him in the comic books, and
the Court of
they
Owls.
Don't seem as mysterious anymore. Like in the main,
well, it's because you never heard of them for 70 years of Batman mythology, and then all of a sudden they're in every other book.
And now everybody knows they're not really a poem anymore. They're just a nursery rhyme or whatever they were. But.
Well, but it's it's like Pandora's box. Can't get them back in the box. You know, once they did the Night of the Owls, people know that they're out there.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, I mean, they did. They kind of released themselves on them, so. But just seems like you could do more with them, because, like, the League of Assassins are even, like, a kind of a mysterious character still. They were able to keep the quirk on
the mystique
for a while.
On them, yeah.
But I'd like to see them, yeah. That'd be cool.
Okay, that's all I read.
I guess I'll go. I didn't really. I've read most of this stuff, but one thing I picked up that I've just really been enjoying is that Howard the Duck omnibus. Just going back and reading some of those. I mean, just in the art itself is really nice. It's basically I like it the most because it's kind of how a collection of this stuff should be. Like you can't do an omnibus for everything. This kind of deserved an omnibus because it's a fairly small collection of books to begin with. So that was kind of cool, you know, just getting all of those and reading them, and they collected it really nicely, and, you know, but, just kind of, it just reminds me of, like, classic Marvel, like, how Marvel really should feel like when you read it, and it just, that's kind of the time where I kind of liked Marvel stuff, is when that was made, so seeing some of these characters and the artwork and the style that they were using at the time. It just really works, but it's really worth picking up and finding because, you know, that's just these classic stuff. I think Man-Thing would also be a really interesting thing because it had a very small amount of stuff and that they could collect in the one big collection instead of little collections. That kind of stuff that ended really fast, like not really fast, but had like a small run, but was really good, fits into an omnibus the best, and I'd rather buy that than buy like... these
four
random ones that they bring out, like a Fantastic Four. Doesn't Hickman have a...
Mm-hmm. Two of them.
An omnibus? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me, you know? But...
When the trades are out there,
something like this, some sort of collection of something really decent, this is the best type of thing to get as an omnibus. But it is. It's really good, really worth it. So. But everything else I read, it was on these and that, so I'm good. Your turn.
My turn. Rasputin number one. Interesting. It was Alex Grecian and Riley Rossimo, who were the team on Proof. And apparently, Alex Grecian has always been fascinated with Rasputin and has always wanted to do this book.
The Mad Monk.
So he finally got his chance. And it's just, it's very interesting. It starts off, it starts off with him at the final dinner. He's like, I know these people are going to try to kill me. And then it goes more into his past, where it's interesting, he has like a healing power. Like his mom gets beat up by his dad, and he heals her when he goes outside.
Oh, I thought you meant like he had a healing factor.
No,
like
not a factor, Wolverine. But he like has a power to heal people.
Okay.
Which explains how, if you know the story, he got drowned and poisoned and shot and all this stuff. And so his dad's outside, and all of a sudden, like, they're chopping wood or hunting or something, and all of a sudden this bear comes along. And he, dad and the bear get into this big fight, and after the fight, he goes and he heals the bear and lets his dad die. His dad was a pretty, like, mean drunk, you know, beat up his, you know. So it just kind of I think that's pretty much where it ended. And the bear kind of looks at him like, what's up with you?
I'm a bear.
Yeah. So, yeah, just kind of very interesting. But, yeah, it's back to Riley Rossimo art, like on Cowboy Ninja Viking, that I loved. So I really liked that first one. I thought that was really good.
After he was beaten, all that, killed, or supposedly killed?
No, and then this is telling his, like, he was a boy when this happened. Yeah, just kind of showing where he came from and stuff. His ute, yes. His misguided ute.
I really miss Proof. That was a good book.
Okay.
It's just a shame that didn't.
Yeah, all things end. Yeah.
Everything ends.
Everything ends, correct. And the other one I read from last week was Axis Revolutions, because it was one of the minis spinning out of Axis. Now, I'm not the biggest fan of Axis. Just, it's confusing. And even the people I was talking to today, it was confusing. And if you bought it today and are reading it or haven't read it yet, just remember Clue. Once you hit Clue, I think you might join me on the, what the?
I haven't heard a lot of Marvel people themselves that I've
You know what?
And praise.
I sold a bunch today only because I marked the first three issues down to half off, because I'm looking on the shelf and I had over 25 copies of each one. That's how it's not doing well. So it's a case of, I got to get these gone. So normally I'm way too late doing stuff like that. So we'll see how that works. But this basically is, it's two stories. One is Spider-Man and one is Doctor Strange. And it's basically Spider-Man dealing with everybody, the hate, the skull is making everybody hate. So he's in New York City and everybody's angry.
How's that different than any other day?
Exactly what I was thinking as I was reading the whole thing. And then it has him talking to a kid and giving some little morality thing at the end. You know,
hey, remember,
you got to stay above and you got to stay happy, Timmy. Okay, Spider-Man. And then the other part was Doctor Strange that I didn't even really read, only because in Axis 3, they're trying to cast this inversion spell, which apparently is the cause for all the problems. And Doctor Strange is casting it with Scarlet Witch, and all of a sudden he gets zapped by one of the Sentinels, and you just kind of blink out. You don't know where they go.
And Doctor Doom
comes in and finishes it. But so then this issue, it's Doctor Strange sitting in his sanctum sanctorum with Wong, just saying, gosh, look, everybody out there is really mad. Yeah, boy, I really wish I could do something. I'm sitting there going, how is this even happening? You got blinked out of existence. So I didn't even read the second half of it. So I just felt they always come out with these things, and it's really hard to judge. In Original Sin, they had that Hulk Iron Man that I didn't order real strong on and sold out immediately.
Okay.
And the Thor one sold really well, the Angela thing. So this was one of those, okay, is this going to be, I don't know how to order this. Well, yeah. I think I sold like three, so I over-ordered. And also, they came out with the Hobgoblin and the Carnage. It's like, does anybody want these? And the fact that the main Axis book is not selling well, these sidelines aren't going to sell well. I'm going to jump on a couple books I read today, just for fun, which will totally mess me up next week.
Oh, man. Spoilers.
But, no, not like that, but just to kind of push them, sales-wise, that's all. But there was a real neat one Kurt Busiek came out with today called Tooth and Claw, which is one of the, I don't want to say standard, but Image does it a lot, where it's a double-sized issue for $2.99. and it gives you the start of it. And a really neat book about magic, and it, like, it's all animal or anthropomorphic characters.
Okay.
Not in a cartoony way, just in this particular world. It was really good. Yeah, there's really nothing I can tell you to... I don't want to give anything away, but...
Did you buy it, Dave?
I got it.
Yeah, it was very, very good. And I think value-wise, you know, give it a shot. You know, it's $2.99. I mean, it's a little bit fantasy magic, so if you don't like that, pass on it. But
he writes Astro City and what else? Is that it?
That's the main one.
That's a big one.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big, thick... my son almost missed the bus because I was reading that this morning. And well, just I'm reading it. I'm like, oh, I got 10 minutes. Dad, I gotta go. Oh, gee, okay.
Leave me alone. I'm busy right now.
Yeah, no. So that was really good. I have a real fun story with that. Where over half my copies were damaged, and I'm not getting replacements. That was really good. I also read Spider-Man 7 that came out today, which is the official start of Spider-Verse.
Nine. Yeah.
But it's the official start of Spider-Verse, and I haven't read all the Spider-Verse tie-ins. I didn't even read the last two Spider-Man books.
Okay.
I only read the first of the Superior Spider-Man, which kind of gave the beginnings of it. Really good. You don't need to have read everything to understand what's going on. You're up to speed right away. Really good.
Okay.
I thought it was really, really good. Really well done.
That book has been much better ever since. Felicia. Has not been there.
The Black Cat.
Oh, okay, yeah. That, you know, to be honest, that story bored me, and that's why I stopped reading Spider-Man.
As soon as you stopped seeing Felicia Hardy, then all of a sudden the book got...
Okay, yeah, because it felt forced with her and...
Electro
because of the movie. Yeah, I didn't... Yeah. That was why I stopped reading
With the weird, like, Ms. Marvel...
I was just going to say that.
...crossover, yeah, it still that was better. It was still better than Felicia Hardy.
I didn't mind the... Like, as much as I didn't like the first part of that Ms. Marvel thing... I didn't mind the second part.
No, the second part wasn't bad.
Yeah.
I think because you were expecting it at that point, like the first one, it was kind of out of left field.
And that Spider-Girl story was kind of
I like that.
How they, I was really hoping they'd take that character out completely because I get tired of that book being relaunched. I mean, it's been a while since it has last been relaunched. But I remember it's just like Spider-Girl. Then it was canceled. They're like, oh, we have a new Spider-Girl, and they'd put a new number one on it. And I was just like, they won't put an end to this book. Like, I don't know why it's so popular that they keep bringing it out. Until I figured out that's really what Marvel does for a long time. But, I heard something, but...
That wasn't me.
Maybe me.
There you go, Josh.
But it was,
Cool it.
It was decent. I don't think her parents were killed. I think one of them became... I think Peter became, like a goblin for a while, didn't he? Do you remember that?
Oh, no, I don't remember
that.
That
was a long time ago.
He was kind of missing a leg in this.
Yeah, that might be the reason why, maybe. Wait,
missing a leg? Yeah. Deathlock? What?
Deathlock, Peter.
I'm Peter lost. Parker.
Okay, I'm lost. He's missing Peter a leg?
Peter Parker, Deathlock. That's the fourth one.
Okay. I remember that. That was like, was he with Cable on the cover? That was like early 90s? Okay, sorry. Never mind.
Did any of you guys read the Azzarello and Cliff Chang...
No, I didn't. I'm a good 5 or 6 issues behind on that.
It was good. The only thing I would say, it felt like the ending was a bit convenient. Like they've been playing up the Firstborn as being this massive threat for all these issues, and like it essentially ended with her taking off her bracers and, you know, knocking him into a pit. So the issue as a whole was really good. It was like he's been such a threat. It kind of seems like a, you know, very quick and easy ending to it. And the other thing was the baby that's been kind of the central point of the whole thing. They went with, you know, something that like I suspected, you know, early on, because the whole time you're seeing that they're saying how Zeus is gone. He's not around anymore. And this baby, Zeke, is the last born. So he's the last born child of Zeus. And at least I thought at one point, I was like, I wonder if the baby is Zeus? Like Zeus reborn, which, you know, he is.
Okay.
So the baby is Zeus. You find out that the baby's mom actually has is a vessel for Athena as well. So Athena, who was a child of Zeus, gave birth to, you know... Zeus again, and it was, I mean, it was kind of weird.
Okay.
Is that the last one he's done?
Yeah.
So that was just the final.
Yeah.
Who's doing it afterwards, though?
David and Meredith Finch.
And that's coming out this month?
No. Sometime this month. I don't know when.
Because I know you got the poster. Not next week. I didn't know when you
But like, it was good. I mean, their whole run. I mean, I loved this whole run for Wonder Woman, and the final issue was good. Just felt like it was a bit. For all the build up this last issue, some things were a bit too convenient, too rushed. They also didn't focus much on this huge supporting cast of Wonder Woman throughout this whole book, and not many of them got FaceTime in this final issue. But I mean, overall, it was a solid ending to a.
It was
a
one
really
of the books that was really hard for me to like. Drop because I did drop it, but I didn't want to.
Well, it was
it's something I want to come back to because it was really well done.
Like I remember, because we have the omnibus for all the first issues for the New 52, and I read that, and I was kind of interested. And then I bought the first trade, and then got like the second trade, and it would take us a lot to come out. And I was kind of hooked in the story, so then they had a digital sale, bought those, and came here and bought the single issues and buying them since. But it's just I never thought I would be this like into a Wonder Woman book. Yeah. And it was a really
they did a really good job with it. Like and I am curious of what they're going to do.
Yeah. The story was great, the art was perfect. I mean I'll give the new creative team a chance. I don't know if I'll stay on it that long from what I've seen so far. I don't know if I like
what their ideas what they
just mean. Like even just the art, like David Fincher's art is good, but his
faces are all the same,
but just like the way they're drawing Wonder Woman, I've always thought that Wonder Woman is kind of like a goofy character and that she is, running around in a swimsuit.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to, take the character seriously as being like a, legit.
Well, because a lot of the Marvel characters that are Greek mythology, they're not big characters, and this is one of your big three in DC. And so it is kind of interesting that you have, we're supposed to take this Greek mythology, character and all gods and all this, but now we have
Zeus.
But
the way they did it,
though.
The way his story went and the way Cliff Chang's art was and, giving her armor and everything, it worked. And with David Finch, it seemed like it's more... again, stylized, almost looks like a pinup in,
Yeah, and I'm not a fan of that It's good, though.
But we'll see what happens. But it was definitely a good run. I think it'll, read well in trades, too.
In the omnibus. Oh, wait.
That won't happen.
I'm looking forward to the Cliff Chang statue coming out. That was the only one I wanted to mention.
Okay. Well, coming next week. I know you're giddy. It's a big week. Got all new Captain America number one with how many variant covers, Josh?
10,000.
Well, that's a lot. That looks like it's 8.
No, well, it's 6 actually, because that's a poster. 6. Actually, but yeah.
Oh well, you deceived me.
But so that when you look on the invoice, there's a lot of lines here. Yeah,
now they're gonna think I can't count.
One. Sorry, we got Axis 5. So we're already past the halfway point now, or we will be.
How many issues is that?
9.
I feel like Rick Remender writes. Like his indie stuff, he does a great job, but the mainstream stuff is kind of wishy washy.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I really liked his uncanny, his X Force stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the X Force stuff was really good.
The uncanny Avengers lost me.
Yeah, some people like it, and some people don't. I don't know what happened to that.
So we get Batgirl, then a second issue of the new look Batgirl.
What was after with Archie? That book's never
happened.
In the magazine, it came out today.
That's the thing about zombies. They're unreliable.
We got Batman 36, which is the second part of Endgame after the great 35.
They never show up on time.
I'm not sure what this is. Bigger Bang, number one. Breaking Bad Heisenberg. Previews exclusive red shirt. Variant figure that you cannot find at Toys R Us. Come on down and get it. Bucky Barnes Winter Soldier, number two. I'm going to give number two a try. Number one, I was not a huge fan of, but maybe... I was just in the wrong frame of mind.
You got to give it an arc.
I'll give it a try. Captain America and the Mighty Avengers, number one. So both new Captain America books shipping the same week.
That makes sense.
It's brilliant. Deep State, which I'm not sure what that is.
I don't know. I can't say it.
Yeah, I have 10 of them. That makes sense. And then Django Zorro, number one, because that's a team up that people have been clamoring for.
Django Zorro.
That this Django and Chain would... continue this long beyond the movie.
Did you see that movie?
Yeah.
It was okay.
And the movie wasn't bad, but I never thought it would have turned into like a franchise with comics. And
it's Dynamite, right?
Yeah.
Dynamite really needs it.
And I wish I would have got one of the action figures before they got banned.
Yeah.
If you think
I don't even think
it,
they came out.
Well, if you think about they really do fit. Okay. Like how they're choosing, they get Zorro, Phantom, or, I mean, they're not exactly the same time periods, but they're kind of those type of characters.
But those characters are known, well-known characters... Django and Chain. I mean, it wasn't.
But
he
fits into the Zorro world.
He does. But it wasn't exactly like a huge mainstream.
Do they have a Lone Ranger?
Movie.
than they have Lone Ranger.
Yes. Wait, we're getting there. We're getting there.
Like, I can't.
Oh, that's, I didn't know that was
I could see a kid being like, oh, yeah, Lone Ranger, Disney did the movie, you know, Phantom, whatever. Oh, Django Unchained.
Well, hold on. Let's take this to its logical conclusion, though. When the Waynes got killed, they left the Zorro movie. So that means they were watching Zorro and Django? I can't picture them taking
he might not have been in that movie.
Django. The new 52 origin of Batman, it was
Django Unchained.
Everything leads to Batman somehow.
Django
isn't that
killed the Waynes.
What? When did this happen?
Wait, okay. And Nick Fury was in that movie. How did that work?
In this continuity, they owned a plantation.
And how was Bobby Hitler involved?
Oh, stop. Okay. Drifter, number one. That's a new one from Image. Fade Out, number three.
You said Grifter.
I did not say Grifter. I said Drifter. Yeah, it could be. Could be. Guardians 3000, number two. We got Kitchen, number one, which is a new Vertigo book. I read a preview of that.
It's kind
of
neat.
It's the mob wives in Hell's Kitchen. In, I want to say, like, the 70s, 80s. The husbands go to jail, and the wives got to, like, the one kind of realizes, okay, I need to take over. The other wives are like, oh, I don't have any money. I don't know what to do. And the one wife is like, well, you're collecting his thing. And they're like, oh, no. So they go, and they collect one, and they kind of beat one guy up, and it turns out he's really connected. So that's not good. Lone Ranger Vindicated, number one. Thanks for ruining that, Adam.
I had no
Adam.
Idea that was coming out.
Way to go.
I just remember the old one.
He stole your thunder.
Masterplasty.
That was his
one
thunder.
Shot. Second print.
The past hour and a half, he's waiting for that Lone Ranger.
Yeah, exactly. Masterplasty was an interesting book. I couldn't even really tell you what it was all about because it was huge. I mean, I honestly don't even know where to put it. Pat and I have tried to... Pat came up with some interesting ideas of how to display this thing. But it's literally like four times as big as a regular comic book.
Yeah.
And the problem is also it came, you know, if you're looking for a mint copy, good luck. Because this literally came in this huge box on top of action figures and then pushed down with packing paper. So, and it's like not firm or anything. It's just, it's
really
like a Marvel
floppy,
comic.
Yeah.
Like doesn't even have a cover.
It's newsprint, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they decided to reprint it in a normal comic size.
Just have a contest and give it away.
Yeah. We'll do something. Well, they were expensive, too.
Where did it go?
They're over there. October Faction, number two. That's the Steve Niles one. That sold out really quick. Resurrectionists is another, is a new one from Dark Horse. I always mean to take little notes of, like, who's doing these and stuff, and then...
You never do.
It's Wednesday. Because I don't get this till Wednesday afternoon. So
what else do you do Wednesday afternoon?
Yeah, I know.
You probably got like a 15-minute spell or
I probably did. You're right. I probably did have. You're right.
You eat a sandwich.
Yeah, you.
Yeah,
ate.
I did. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Next time I'm not breaking anything. You got.
You're right. Yeah, I had my lunch an hour before I closed. You're right. So yeah, selling me eating having my lunch at.
We're
7.
All gonna eat here, but you have to read that.
Okay. Yeah. Next time. I'm sorry. I'll get better at this. Spider-Verse number one of two. So that's next week. Superior Iron Man spinning out of Axis. That I've read.
The Incredible Enzo.
It's not. It's Tony affected by the inversion spell and just makes him a huge egomaniacal dick.
He wasn't that way before.
So yeah, I was going to say.
He was, but he's even worse
than
this one.
I was going to say, I would think he'd be more zen.
You just lost that parental. Yeah. Way. Gotta put
no,
that
no. That's Grayson.
You don't know dick.
Yeah. And then
Grayson.
Thor 2 and Second Prince of 1. So if you missed getting Thor 1, because I sold out right away, those are coming back. I got more Thor 1s coming, and Thor 2
Wait,
is coming.
Grayson comes out next week?
No, Thor.
Before that, I thought you said Grayson.
Grayson was this week. Well, that's because I said the D word, and I followed
it
up
then
with Grayson.
He'll bleep it out later.
He threw me off.
Yeah, I'll bleep it out later.
That's
yeah, sure
like
will.
Grayson 2 weeks in a row?
If our podcast was more popular, they would.
Yeah.
Take it down, but he's good.
The four people that listen to it, if one of them complains, we're in trouble.
What's the one person at iTunes just like, I'm going to pick a podcast today, and they were, they're like, oh, not
he's trying
this
to
one.
Pull in the explicit crowd.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm going
bringing
for.
Bringing people to
ratings. Yep.
Just switch it
podcast
over.
Podcast after dark.
Pat just shouts some obscenities.
Yeah, well, stop. Walking Dead 134, that's gotten really good. Wicked and Divine First Trade. So if you haven't been reading this, get the trade. It's been
really good.
And it's in one of those $9.99 image trades.
The last one was really good.
Yeah, it was really good. And Witches 2 is coming out. And I will have somewhere really between a million and 1.5 million copies of this. So.
Of what?
Witches? Huh?
Witches number two.
You're getting your own cover.
I'm not, but I have my cover, and then I have a Phantom cover, and then I have my display program cover, which is yet a third cover. And... That's probably the number I needed. Okay?
Yeah.
And I also have that coming.
Whoa.
And I also have that coming.
Whoa.
So I have 1.5 million copies coming. So
Dave got one free comic book.
Yeah. I'm going to say I'm going to need to order more second prints than that. I think I have 2 first prints left on the shelf. So.
Of Witches?
Yeah. It was good. So, yeah. I'm going to have 85 more copies of number 2 than I did of number 1.
Well, you have to get Scott Snyder here to sign them.
Yeah. I'll get right on
We're
that.
We're talking now.
Yeah.
I mean,
Nick's talking to him.
Witches
to get him
is based on
Pennsylvania.
In our state. He should come here and sign.
Yeah.
That was neat about Constantine, too, that it was Pennsylvania. Yeah. I enjoyed that. That was a little
tough. Did you notice where it was? It was practically right here.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I was just like, yeah, all these coal towns are out there.
Well.
Well, in the mountains.
Well, you know what? I was thinking about that. Their economy is, like, destroyed now because
it was based on
the coal.
That
so
done.
Once that's gone, it's that's it.
Done.
So he didn't really. Well, he did a favor.
He didn't do it yet.
I guess he did. Well, I mean, I don't want a bunch of demons running around.
Yeah.
You don't have money, but you can live now.
Yeah, and I like how the ministers just like back the business, but it's just like now you're not. Sweeping they're gone. The they just left.
Wipe that thing off the wall.
Who's paying to rebuild the
church? He's like Sunday. He opens the door.
I enjoyed when he ran in there. Goes, I know you're here. Da da da. And then the two kids naked stand up. I thought that was hilarious.
That was
I enjoyed that. Even though, you know, I guess.
In the church?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was funny.
It's a closed church. I guess it doesn't matter. I don't know.
Okay.
Well, that's it. That's the podcast.
Thank you, Adam. We'll talk at you next week. I'm looking forward to next week. Sorry. I was just saying, I'm going to New York next week, and I'm actually going to the DC offices on Friday. So that's kind of cool. But
really?
We'll talk at you next
week. They invited
you there? They did.
You're like, this guy hates Marvel as much as we do.
Come on in.
You're going to be a new editor.
We'll brand you. Yes. Okay. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bound. Came from out the shadows, cause that's how we get down. I'm in your town. Walk between billionaires and evil scientists. Sorcerer supreme, all the teenagers are buying this. Gamma radiation, nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. All I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America. Winter soldier out Siberia. Rocking any microphone that's near to ya. Clobbering it till in the coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction, bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe. Super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The Infinity Watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Ain't concerned with them other things. These rappers wanna talk about ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build a mansion in Asgard. And from the Hellfire Society, studio is Cerebro. Mind patterns and rhyme, cause I rap about what I feel, though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take it back to days of future past in my raps. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets. Demand things when I speak, like your attention and respect when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops, my mixtapes still rock. They're in your system, that's what Soundwave's telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drake's the only ice that I rock with. And mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover, ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah. Quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. Hey, yo, Vince. Drop the beat out. I wanna go Pietro on these cats. Right? Yeah. Spitting the rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will baffle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time. Watch your chain react. Can't lie. I'm a brainiac.
little they know I'm still in the show. I'm filling the streets, unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it, yo. Please, shots to your chest, you're rocking a vest like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody'll save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun, I'm Hank with his son. I'm Rob when I skip lunch, eating rappers, man. So thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap, I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes, keeping these anonymous commenters honest, making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block. Now, put your hands up like